people ask me, how are you teaching Nadi on Zoom? But I don't need your body. I do not need your body to check your energetic template. Your subtle body is made of exactly everything your gross body is. Your subtle body has the same face, same height, everything same. It has a heart, legs, it has a liver, it has a stomach. Everything is exactly the same in your subtle body. It is made up of a network which talks to each other called nadis. It has three koshas, intelligence, mind and prana, vijnanamai, manomai and pranamai kosha. And this is what we are measuring with Nadi Pariksha. So if you can plug in, how do we make a refrigerator work or a computer work, or how do we charge a phone? We plug it in the outlet. Similarly, putting our fingers on certain areas of the body, we are plugging our fingers in somebody else's energetic body, and let that electricity, let that energy vibration flow through us. So first thing, we are going to learn how to measure and check our own subtle body before we do it on others. I already told you, the causal body is the Atma or the soul, and this is Anandamay Kosh. So Anandamay Kosh is the gross body, subtle body or stool. When you see a ghost, how many of you have seen ghosts or know someone else who has seen a ghost? I know people in America, they've seen a lot. You have, yes. And did it look... Sometimes if somebody dies in the family, people see their ghost and it looks exactly like the person who has died. And usually whatever they were wearing on their deathbed is what they look like, right? Exactly like that person. Because your subtle body, yes, there is no color because it is made of air, right? So the subtle body is exact version or exact template of a gross physical body. So interestingly, this is just... So when we die, and then we have to take another body. So I told you Bhutnath, or the deity of ghosts, deity of Atma, who makes sure that the Bhut or the subtle body enters into the Atma and the subtle body together, enter into the sperm. When it enters into the sperm, right? As soon as it enters into the sperm and sperm meets with the egg, there is the causal body gives rise to a new subtle body. So the template of what this little, embryo is going to look like when it grows up is already templatized in there. Like the DNA, the DNA is an exact genetic. So there is actually an energetic version of the DNA helix in the subtle body. And I'll explain it to you why. So the DNA is, it's like a zipper, right? You have the DNA. And how much DNA is in like one drop of water, let's say, one drop of blood? Do you know how much DNA can be in one drop of blood? Any idea? DNA is part of the subtle body. Trillions, millions, trillions. It's a lot. So if you were to take one hair, so the end to end of a hair, you could have 5,000, I think, is it 5,000 or I could be more, I'm not, or is it 10,000? I don't know exactly. 5,000 or 10,000 DNA strands can be put one across the other, across the strand. So it is in nanometers, I think. So I'm not exactly sure, you'll have to look it up, but it's in nanometers, and in one strand of hair, you can have between 2,000 to 5,000 DNA strands, right? DNA is part of your subtle body. It is the physical extension of the subtle body. So if the DNA did not exist, and how does it enter the subtle body when the sperm has met the egg, a part of the sperm and egg, the genetic template is formed in the subtle body before, and then the subtle body, the DNA in the subtle body becomes the physical DNA, and then the physical body is being developed. This is a yogic perspective. This is not medicine perspective. This is Ayurvedic, Vedic, and yogic perspective. So we have learned there are five koshas, and the five koshas are basically the three bodies. Even if you didn't know, yes, medicine doesn't account for soul and the vibrational medicine and energetic body. But interestingly, Heather, you know, I think I've talked about this before. There's something in Western medicine. It's called the phantom limb. Have you heard of this? So even if a person loses a limb or loses any part of their body, they still feel it is still there. I have an uncle. He lost his hand in an accident when he was a kid. So we grew up with him having somebody who didn't have a limb. He doesn't even, you know, we try to convince him to wear, you know, he says, but I don't feel like an amputee. You know, I feel like my hand is still there. And of course, you know, it is kind of because energetically the hand is still there. So this is a scientific thing. There's actually an Indian professor in the San Diego State University, or is it one of the universities in San Diego, who has led the research on the phantom limb. And so let's say someone, this is why we say if someone has a hysterectomy, or you know someone who's had an hysterectomy, even if it's a complete hysterectomy, they don't have any ovaries, they don't have a uterus. But energetically, ovaries are still there. Energetically, the uterus is still there. So they are still going to have a menopause. So, you know, we have one of our teachers who's kind of on a leave right now. And she ended up having a hysterectomy, was it 2 years ago? She said, I'm never going to have a menopause. I'm so happy. I'm not going to have it. I said, you are going to have a menopause. She's like, oh no, it's medically impossible. So, and then this year, she's in menopause. Now she's not having the hot flashes, but she's still going through the emotional stuff. So physical symptom of the, you know, the hot flashes, insomnia may not be there, but the emotional stuff that goes, because emotionally her uterus is still there. So she's like, okay, I eat crow. You were right. And I've had so many people who say, I don't know why I'm feeling this. I said, well, you're in menopause. I can't. I had my uterus taken out. I had had hysterectomy. But you have, like, gallbladder. Sometimes people have their gallbladder taken out. But energetically, the gallbladder is still there. So one of the meditation that I have people do for their is like, meditate on your energetic gallbladder. It'll do stuff. Now, this is a completely different way of doing things, right? So yeah, just because a part of the body physically is not there, subtly it is still there. A surgery or an accident cannot amputate your subtle body. It is always there. It has every organ. And every time we die and we take a new birth, in every time we are incarnated, there is a new subtle body, because there's a new egg and there's a new sperm. The subtle body is new. The part of the subtle body which remains with us from previous life and has some impression is the mind and intelligence. Little part of the mind and little part of the intelligence carries on with us. But the new part of, you know, the genetic intelligence and so on, that comes with the new. Is it all making sense? It is like we are really going deep into, if you don't understand this, we are not going to be able to do Nadi Pariksha. Nadi Pariksha is who, we're going to start with my Nadi Pariksha, your Nadi Pariksha. So you're going to do Nadi Pariksha for yourself. Who are you? I am the subtle body. I am the causal body, the grow. So when we are in that platform, you'd be able to, all you have to do is just surrender to the idea that you are the subtle body and just forget you're a gross body for a few minutes, and you will feel those vibrations running in your finger. And yet you're ready for Nadi Pariksha. Yes, yes, Heather, the subtle body. No, I think you came a little late. So let me go back, if that's okay. Very quickly, I'll quickly explain it. Your Atma, or Atma is called the causal body because it causes everything. That's why it's called the causal body. So your Atma is put in the sperm by Bhutanath, by Shiva, right? Because he is the deity, predominant deity of all vampires and zombies and wolfman and all of that stuff and ghosts and anyone who's dead, anyone who doesn't have, like, if someone is is a religious person and they pray to angels or whatever, they are not going to become a ghost. They have a place they are going to, right? And then they'll do their business there and then they'll come back. But if someone has doesn't have a place they're going, they don't have a spiritual path, then they're kind of stuck here. They become bhoot. So the bhootnath, the Shiva, he throws their atma in a sperm. He decides which house, and the man and the woman, the man then desires to copulate. And in the that sperm is able to swim to the egg only because it has an atma in it. Once they combine, there is an embryo. There is already a template for subtle body within the causal body. Once the sperm and egg unite, the subtle body, the template, think of it as a flower, you know, a seed, right? A seed has an entire template of a tree inside it, but it's unmanifested. So as soon as they've combined the manifestation, the subtle body starts creating, the chakras start creating, the pranamayi kosha, that gets created before. And then one of the first organs to be created is, of course, the heart, and the heart beats. That is everything that I kind of explained in 1 minute. So let's look at this. Cosmic energy, supreme self. We are a part and parcel of divine. So look at this blue thing. Blue thing is divine. There's a divine energy, right? We are part of that. Think of this divine energy as the sun, and we are one ray of light. So we are a very, 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 very minuscule part of this divine. And that is called the soul. It can never die. That's why we die and we take a new body, then we die again, then we take birth. Everyone who has taken birth must die. Everyone who has died must take birth again. This is the law and the rule of the nature, right? And every time we take birth, Atma is made of this divine material. It is metaphysical. How is it going to travel? It needs a medium to travel. So the subtle body, the three koshas, the pranamayi kosha, the manomayi kosha, intelligence, the subtle body, which is the intelligence, mind, prana, ego, all of this carries it like, a seed is carried in the wind, like that. And it carries it like that. So there are many ways, you know, divine may decide, giving Bhutanath's example, Bhutanath is usually responsible for ghosts who haven't gone to different planets, and people who have done good things, who have a spiritual path. Then providence properly decides to give them parents. So, you know, we say that we don't select our parents. Actually, we do select our parents from a karma. Let's say Heather is a very spiritual person. She has practiced meditation and spirituality. She has a spiritual master. Let's say she worships, you know, certain divine form of the Lord. All the forms of the Lord are one, in whatever form it is. And then when she passes, she will go to that person. And but maybe her spiritual life is not complete. So she will get birth in a place where she can carry on her spiritual. Maybe she was practicing yoga, as in the yogic practice, as in the spiritual practice of yoga, where she was connecting with the divine in her heart. But, you know, things kind of ended before she could take it further. So she will take birth in a family of yogis, where she's getting those sanskaras, those impressions from previous life, and then she'll continue on from there. She is not going to be given any random thing like ghosts or Bhutnath. I'll give you my example. I have been worshiping Lord Hari, Lord Vishnu, for, you know, lifetimes. And before that, I used to worship Shiva. And I had a sister who died within 2 days of being born. And my father had kind of a vision from Shiva that I am sending you another person who has been doing my, you know, who has been my devotee and then now became devotee of Hari. And my entire lifetimes were told to my dad, which I cannot get into, obviously, and where I'm coming from, which planet, blah, 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 not all that. And then I was born the next year. So my father told me that whole story, where I'm coming from. So I wouldn't really believe him. I'm like, yeah, like if you're telling a kid you came from this planet and Lord Shiva's blessing on me and he decided where to give and I'm not really, I don't really believe you. So then finally, I had a vision. I had darshan of Lord Shiva himself. And he himself told me it was very scary to have his vision. He is not, it was a kid when I got, and then he kind of told me kind of same things what he told my dad. So he, yes. Do I believe it? Oh boy, I believe it with all my heart. Yes, Heather, there is an end to the cycle of rebirth. It's called moksha. So remember, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Moksha is end of cycle of, this is why there are four purusharthas. In order to even get to the end of cycle, you have to keep on taking birth in a family of advanced spiritual practitioners. My father was very advanced spiritual meditation practitioners. At age of six, I'm meditating. I took to the life of spirituality at age between 6 and 10. I was in it. Yeah. So this is all from the perspective of yoga and Veda and karma from a previous life. Remember, Ayurveda is part of Veda. Veda, we believe in reincarnation. So a lot of diseases and problems, the genetic template is also coming from the, what are we, when we are checking the nadi, we are checking the energetic vibration of this energetic network in our subtle body. That's what the nadi is. And how does it travel? What is a physical manifestation of nadi in the body? For example, your respiratory channel is a nadi also? Not really. Within the respiratory channel, within the physical body, there is a think of it, a highway of made up of air and space that you cannot see. A channel, a tube, a pipe, a nerve, a vessel, a pulse. Actually, the word pulse, I hate that word because it kind of denotes Western, but it's not Western at all. That is what the nadi is. It's a network of channel, network of tubes, network of pipe, but it is made of air and space. You cannot see it with your eyes. There is a book called Shiva Samhita. Ranjita, do you worship Lord Shiva? Oh, okay, you worship Dakshinamurti. Okay. So if you are going to practice Nadi, you need a kind of a deity. And it doesn't need to be a deity of Hindu pantheon. But I do believe personally, every pantheon, whether it's Sumerian pantheon or Greek pantheon or Asian pantheon or Japanese pantheon or Hindu pantheon, it's the same. They just have different names. So it doesn't matter. There's a pantheon. There is, so Lord Shiva, Dakshinamurti is when he's sitting in the southern direction. He is kind of again the lord of the nadis. And one of, if you cannot, do not want to do Hindu pantheon, that is absolutely fine, but you still need to give respect to Ganesha because he is the deity for yoga, Ayurveda, Jyotish. Not so much yoga, but definitely Ayurveda, Jyotish, Vastu. He's the deity of it. He's kind of the gatekeeper who keeps all the. So things are not going to, without his kind of blessings, things are not going to move forward. Anyway. So we're going to go to Shiva Samhita. Shiva Samhita, is a collection, says that all the nadis are coming out of the navel. So, and interestingly enough, if you read traditional Chinese medicine, they believe in, it's everything is yin and yang. And there's, they think that yin and yang is arising out of the navel. And that's where the energy network is arising out of. Exactly the same thing. Different names. Exactly the same thing. The yin and yang, what they call yin and yang or yin and yang, I'm sorry, I don't know exactly how to say it, is Shiva and Shakti. It's the male divine and female divine who are kind of keeping this material world running. Same thing, different names. There's another text which talks also about 300 network of 350,000 nadis coming out of the heart and not navel. What do I believe? I believe there are nadis coming out of the navel and the heart. Because they are both correct. We want to look at everything what the texts are saying. We never make stuff up. These are the texts that we follow in the Vedas. These are Vedic texts. Out of these 350,000, only 72,000 have been described in the yogic texts in kind of a bit more detail. And so you have to study yoga for lifetimes in order to understand these. Out of these 72,000, the only one that we are concerned in Ayurveda are 14 nadis. Within the 14 nadis, we are going to study three nadis today. And these nadis manifest in our index finger, They manifest in our middle finger and they manifest in our index finger. This is where they kind of come out. You don't have to be touching the finger too. You can feel them. I'm talking about this and my fingers are vibrating now. And these three principal nadis out of the 14 are Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna. Ida starts from your bottom and ends at your left nostril. So if you could very gently breathe through your left nostril and close your right nostril, maybe 6 times. Let's do that. Let's gently close our right nostril and breathe maybe 6 times from our left nostril. So the left side of your body, the Ida Nadi flows through the bottom and it ends out. It comes out of the left nostril. So we're going to close our eyes and we are going to visualize how this nadi is flowing in the left side of our body. So it'll flow from the bottom and it's coming. And we're going to feel how it is flowing and coming through our left nostril.